This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Pella Rollscreen Foundation, Pleasantville Auto, Harold Trailer Sales, Marion County Rural Water, Marion County Public Health, Norm Rosendahl Tiling and Septic, and Marion County Auto Body. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Knoxville Fire and Police, J. Olson State Farm Agency, Pleasantville Fire and Police Department, Hewitt Service Center, Pizza Hut, Raymaker Screen Printing, and Knoxville Raceway. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
When there is an incident involving hazardous materials in the county, who responds and what kind of training have they received? In the ninth part of a 10-part series on our public safety volunteers, let's go in depth with Dan Turner, Jason Schrader, and Thomas Van Workum with the Marion County Hazmat Team. So Dan, how many members are there in on the Hazmat Team?
32 right now, I believe.
32 and from all over the county?
Yep. Yeah, from various fire departments in the county and also from Pella Ambulance.
Is this something that's been going on for a long time and the new organization? What is it?
It's a fairly new organization. We're entering our second year, full second year, after our initial training.
And am I remembering right, that used to be contracted out of Des Moines or Newton or somewhere?
A little bit of both. I'm not real sure the timeline between the two, but I know that we've utilized both agencies.
So in just a couple of years, gearing up to 32, that's pretty nice.
Yep. Yeah, we pretty much started from cold and had an initial response of about 36 people, and we've had a few back out or move away from different fire departments, so that's where we're sitting now.
And most of them are volunteers?
Every one of them is volunteer in some aspect.
Every one of them. What kind of training is involved?
Yeah, it was 40 hours initially, and ongoing is a minimum of 24 per year. The first 40 we did in about a two-month time period, and then we've had various training. We do way more than 24, but it's a minimum of 24 a year.
Well, it sounds really complex to me. I mean, you're dealing with a whole bunch of different chemicals and then volatile gases. I mean, what am I missing?
Biohazard, radiological.
If it's not a fire and it's not a police emergency or an ambulance emergency, they're calling hazmat. Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, when I'm driving down the roadway and I see those anhydrous trucks going down the roadway and I'm always worried if there might be an accident with them, that's something you'd get called out to?
Yes, sir. Basically, if you take any product or any material that would be hazardous to health, life, or the environment, that's where we would come in.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Iowa State Savings Bank, Knoxville Hospital and Clinics, Marion County Fair Association, Iowa State Investment Representative Joe Cunningham, the Pleasantville Clinic, Lori Goff, and Melcher Dallas Schools. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, 3M, Knoxville Farm and Home, Mercy One, Pleasantville Schools, Dan's Plumbing and Heating, McKay Insurance, and Brookwood Incorporated. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation with Dan Turner, Jason Schrader, and Thomas Van Workum with the Marion County Hazmat Team. Well, and I'm guessing there's other hazardous materials moving on rail trains, moving in smaller vehicles, I guess, and then also in some of our industries, right?
Yeah, every business has some sort of chemical inside the business, if it's from Vermeers or Pellicorp. And we all have major highways around here, so the highways also create a lot of different chemicals going through them.
Have you been called out on any hazardous material responses yet?
Not as a full department, we haven't. We've had, because of the zones or sectors within the county, we've had smaller calls within the areas and regions where we've had small responses, but nothing as a full unit yet.
Do you have to go out to, like, small little things? Like, let's just say, oh, I spill a bunch of gas at one of the stores.
Potentially. It just depends on who makes the call.
And depending on the amount of fuel that's spilled.
Okay, so a little spill, you could do a little bit of sawdust with or something you don't?
Yeah.
So the initial response would be, you know, if you spilled something in your garage that you felt was hazardous, you would call 911. The fire department would respond. They would make an initial assessment whether or not they could handle it. If they felt they couldn't, then they would notify the dispatch to get a hold of the hazmat team. The hazmat team would send one representative to assess the situation and see what type of response they need from there. There could be times where it could, you know, with the help of a couple hazmat members, the fire department would be able to mitigate it and get it cleaned up, or it may require us to bring in specialized equipment that we have at the county level to get it cleaned up. So it's a tiered response. We have two trailers, two 16-foot covered trailers that are full of equipment, full of protective equipment, full of cleanup equipment, full of decontamination equipment.
Investigation equipment.
Investigation equipment, monitors. Help me out here.
Testing equipment, cameras, anything that would help us identify what the material is and how to properly and safely mitigate the risk.
Tens of thousands of dollars of equipment.
How did that get paid for?
Some of it come by grants. A lot of it comes from Marion County Board of Supervisors.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by People's Bank, Cubes Garage, Tulip City Agency, Don's Heating and Cooling, Good Samaritan Society Indianola, Van Haften Racing, and Precision Pulley and Idler. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you would like to suggest a topic for in-depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Golf Cars of Iowa, American Cleaning Services, Pella Regional Health Center, Two Rivers Cooperative, Central College, McGriff's Farm and Home of New Sharon, and Verduft Agency.
I continued my conversation with Dan Turner, Jason Schrader, and Thomas Van Workum with the Marion County Hazmat Team. Now, were you guys part of that response, that training at the Knoxville VA, a year or so ago where, I mean, you all came out early in the morning, there was a potential terrorist event, some radioactive materials, something, I don't know, was pretty amazing. I don't know how many people came out, but that was an all-day-long exercise.
Yeah, it was a big exercise, and yeah, Marion County Hazmat Team made the initial response, and once we realized that it was beyond our capabilities, we called for the 71st out of Des Moines.
The guard unit that helps with that
sir.
Stuff.
And they are even more specialized. I mean, that's all they do. They have weapons of mass destruction training, how to mitigate those hazards. And the drill was to include them. And they really know their stuff. They're kind of a backup team for the entire state.
Now, was that interesting for you to do? I mean, I see you guys in your blue suits and wandering around, all kinds of equipment, sterilizations, pools, I guess you call them. Is that stuff interesting to do? Is it fun to do? Is it challenging? Tell me about those kinds of trainings.
It was very interesting. I mean, it woke us up about 4 o'clock in the morning. We all kind of met here, and we drove to Knoxville. It kind of also opened our eyes that, I mean, we still have a lot more to learn. We're still a new team, and we need to learn a little bit more.
Yeah, it was probably about a year into our existence as an organization, and fairly recently after the majority of the training. So it was a great learning experience to be able to see, you know, somebody that's trained every day, you know, to respond to those types of events. So it was very much an exciting learning experience just to see how they handled it and to get to participate. I mean, we worked hand in hand with them throughout the drill. So it wasn't, them showing up and taking over. It was still considered our scene, and we got to work with them through the whole deal.
I bet establishing those relationships with those folks is important, because if something does happen,
it'll help to know them?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I mean, we got to know some of the stuff that they can do and what they're capable of, and they got to learn the same of us. So it was a great learning experience and even a confidence builder, too, for a lot of guys because, you know, this was truly our first activity as a group, you know, with a potential hazard. And have the 71st come in and say, yep, you guys did everything good. You know, here's what you can work on. But otherwise, I mean, you guys really did a good job. It was a big confidence builder for a lot of the guys. So just helping us realize that, you know, all this training and time that we're putting in isn't for nothing.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on public safety is brought to you in part by Marion County Bank, Lancer Home Service, Vanderbeek Truck Accessories, West End Auto, Dr. Kurt Vanderplu, U.S. Bank, and DMB Supply. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about during our morning, midday, and evening Marion County magazines. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety by visiting the radio audio media player at KNIAKRLS.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Culver's Appella, George Daly Auditorium, Krakus Law Office, Boats Home Furnishings, Windmill Mall Antiques and Collectibles, and Jeremy Dingham and Concrete.
I continued my conversation with Dan Turner, Jason Schrader, and Thomas Van Workum with the Marion County Hazmat Team. How important is it for you to know each other well and each other's abilities and knowledge?
Being well-nurtured with everybody else helps us keep each other in track. If I go into the scene with Dan, I trust my life with him, and he trusts his life with me.
And so you build that through communication and training?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's part of just the team building that comes along with the training. I mean, we're all from different parts of the county, but we're all a member of the same team. You never know who can respond at any one point in time. So it's very important to trust everybody and to trust yourself to not put yourself and the other team members into a situation that you're not comfortable with or don't know how to respond to. So everybody's got, their own particular skill sets and knowledge areas, and everybody contributes to the team in various ways.
Has it been important to learn some of the other people across the county, or did you know most everybody already?
I knew a few, but I've only been in Marion County about 2 or 3 years myself, so I'm still learning who everybody is. The local team, the local sector, the east sector here in Pella, I know most of the guys, but I mean, it's just an ongoing thing. You never know anybody well enough, so. I mean, these two guys, they're probably more knowledgeable of some of the other members of the county than I am.
So a lot of people you see when you guys go out and help each other, sometimes mutual aid, you probably see some of the same faces.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely.
I guess I'm sort of getting at how important it is to be able to work together. I mean, because if you don't know somebody, it's hard to know their capabilities, right?
Exactly.
But that's why we do all of the training. I mean, the training is team training. So you're together, you're constantly learning about each other. I mean, it's not a short period. When you're talking 40 hours initially and 24 hours ongoing, and that's the minimum, I would say we're probably spending closer to 30 to 40 hours in training, you know, ongoing. And that wouldn't include any incidents or, you know, any responses, say mutual aid to fire departments and stuff like that. So you are spending a lot of time together as it adds up across the course of a couple of years.
All of our first responders are in dangerous situations. But the stuff you guys are dealing with, I mean, it blows up and it has long-term health consequences. I mean, there's something even more scary about this than just a normal fire or wreck, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. And that's where the training comes in, you know, understanding what the hazards are and realizing the hazards early. And the thing with hazardous material teams, I mean, we're not the first ones in there. You know, we're usually third or fourth or even the fifth entities in there. So there's a lot of eyes on the situation before we even get there, which can be good and bad. But, you know, from our aspect of it, If we're getting called, we know it's bad. We know there's a hazardous problem there. So, I mean, before we even get in the trucks and get here, we're already taking steps to make sure that we're safe, to make sure the other responders are safe, to make sure that the public is safe.
Hazardous incidents are not fast incidents. It's not like a fire or a police emergency or an ambulance emergency where you're rushing to the scene and you try to resolve it quickly. It's a take your time and understand and assess and mitigate slowly to make sure that we really, you know, do mitigate the risk to the entire population, to the environment and all of that. So it's maybe frustratingly slow for the outside public to watch, but it's done methodically and logically so that everybody stays safe.
How important is family and community support?
It's big. They pay for some of our very expensive suits that keep our lives protected. And they also help us, like sometimes when we have these long events, that they're the first ones to come and help us, whether it's food, whether it's, I mean, just someone to talk to. They're always the first ones there.
And your family supportive?
Mm-hmm, very.
Yeah, you're spending a lot of time away. I mean, by the time, you got to remember, we all have full jobs. We're all members of volunteer departments, whether it's ambulance or fire. And then you tack on, you know, additional levels of responsibilities with hazmat training and responses. So it does add up. And then, you know, family support is absolutely critical to continue to do, you know, to be able to do what we do.
I agree completely. I think every one of us has a wife that isn't real happy that we're going to training, you know, someday, some point or another. But they do understand, and at least mine does, and knows that somebody has to do it. And, you know, and we are the ones that are doing it. And she's usually quite supportive of it.
And what does the community, what might we not know that you want to share today?
That's a great question.
Every one of these team members is a volunteer. I mean, we volunteer to be on this team. We volunteer to do the training. We volunteer to make sure that these hazards are mitigated. And sometimes I think that gets lost in the community. People think we're paid to do it, and, you know, this is our full-time job to just do the hazmat team, and it's not. Or fire department or ambulance or whatever it is. So, you know, and there's, and I mean, Marion County, almost every emergency entity, with the exception of law enforcement, is volunteer. I think Knoxville might be the exception, but they still have volunteer members. Pella Ambulance has volunteer. Pella Fire's volunteer. I mean, all their emergency responders are volunteers. So, you know, that community support, whether it be emotional or monetary, is always important for our survival and so that we can provide these services to the public.
Thanks to Dan Turner, Jason Schrader, and Thomas Van Workum for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.